This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. A little over 5 years ago, economist Robert Shiller came out with a book that warned of a collapse in the stock market. For the title, he borrowed the term coined by Federal Reserve Board Chairman Alan Greenspan, irrational exuberance, a term many at the time repeated and few believed. This, you have to remember, was back when more popular books had titles like Dow 36,000. Many argued that the old rules and cycles of boom and bust simply did not apply in what they described as the new economy. A month later, the bubble burst, and we all know how the story goes from there. Now, in a revised edition of Irrational Exuberance, Shiller extends his analysis to the real estate market and what looks to many like an unending boom in housing prices. And he concludes that real estate is wildly overpriced in many parts of the country and that this market, too, could soon go bust. Later in the program, new leadership in Iraq and a controversial report on political reform in the Arab world, or the lack of it. But first, irrational exuberance, real estate, and the psychology of markets. How have you responded to rising house prices? A bigger house? A second house? A little real estate speculation? Are you worried that you might miss out on the boom? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And the email address is totn@npr.org. Robert Shiller is professor of economics at Yale University, the author of Irrational Exuberance, second edition. And he joins us now from Yale University studio in New Haven, Connecticut. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
A pleasure.
What similarities do you see between the stock market in the late 90s and the real estate market now?
Well, in a sense, the irrational exuberance never left the housing market. The housing market started to boom in the late 90s, and it continues to go up. It wasn't interrupted by the earnings drop that we saw in stocks in 2001. It has just kept going.
And one of the things that you did when you analyzed the stock market 5 years ago was you went back and said, well, all right, see if this model, you know, what's happened through history. You projected all the price earnings indexes through into the previous century and discovered that, you know, there were cycles in this. You've now done the same thing for real estate.
I think it's one of the amazing facts about statistics and econometrics that no one had collected a long time series of home prices in the U.S. How can you get perspective about whether there are bubbles or not if no one collects the data? What I did is I went back and I found various fragmentary home price indexes that kept quality constant and linked them together and added a little, filled a gap. And so I have a series back to 1890. And when I plotted that, I was quite surprised to see what happened. The U.S. has basically never been in a bubble like the one we're in now, with the possible exception of the period right after World War II when the soldiers came home and were bidding up home prices.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very rare phenomenon. And so people who claim to have done statistical analyses and that they can't have done them, they haven't had the data.
So in an odd way, it seems to what you seem to be saying is that we were in a period of irrational exuberance that affected the stock market, the housing market, other kinds of markets, and that the pop in the stock market has not affected it.
That's right. It's maybe not so surprising. There was a Bank of International Settlements study that claims that real estate booms do tend to follow stock market booms around the world, but they do tend to end within a couple of years. So this one is holding on very long.
So what's behind then this irrational exuberance, continued irrational exuberance in real estate after we should have learned some lessons, right?
Well, we should have learned some lessons. The problem is that we're human and we're people. And, you know, prices in these markets are driven by human emotion. Ultimately, you've got to decide to buy that house or to buy a bigger house or to buy a house now rather than later. You know, that's an emotional decision. It's not something that people sit down and calculate. So it's really a question for psychologists. And one reason we have trouble understanding these things is that psychologists don't usually get involved in this. We need their expertise.
Well, obviously, there are some important distinctions between stocks and real estate. You don't live in your stock portfolio. You buy a house, you live in it.
Well, it's true. One reason why the real estate boom may have intensified is as a reaction to 9/11. That was an attack on our financial centers, and it made people want to stay home for a while. Maybe it also helped them want to invest in their home, to have more something around them they can see as an investment. Also, the financial scandals. There were accounting problems. And you have to trust accounting, because what is a corporation? What do you see? You see a balance sheet and an income statement. Those are produced by accountants.
Mm-hmm.
You and, see your house. Yeah. It gives you pleasure every day.
And that, well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and that, I think, is the new attitude that's been developing, not just in the U.S., but in many places around the world.
Those who have maybe gone out and bought a house that might be a little too rich for their blood, if you're right and the market turns out to have been overvalued, well, at the end of the day, if the market goes down, they're still going to have a house.
That's true.
Those who have those
unless
have,
they might
go ahead. I'm sorry. Again, they might have a bigger mortgage than they might want, but
yeah, some of these people will realize that their mortgage is worth the debt is greater than the value of the house, and they'll walk away.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say, I'm making payments, huge payments on this house, and it's not even worth what I'm owing. And so defaults, if as I expect in many places, prices will fall, defaults of mortgages will go up, and there will be some disruption in people's lives.
How much overvalued do you think the stock market is, according to your analysis?
We're going back to the stock market.
I'm sorry, the real estate market. We'll get back to the stock market
later. Well, see, that varies very much by city. We looked at ratios of median home price to per capita personal income, and we find that in many places in the U.S., that's only about two. That the median home is only like 2 years' income or 3 years' income. But in other cities, it's 10 years' income. So I think that's getting a little high, more than a little high. What supports it? Why would you live in a city where homes cost 10 years' income when you could live in a city where they cost 3 years' income or 2 years' income? Well, you might say some cities are better than others and they have better job opportunities than others. But I think that those are not, I think they're a bit overrated. And that's what you have to evaluate. Is it really worth it to live in San Francisco as opposed to, you know, Cincinnati? Is it really worth paying three times as much for a house?
Our number, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 800-989-8255. Our email address is totn@npr.org. We're speaking with Robert Shiller about his new edition of the book, Irrational Exuberance. And let's talk to Juan, and Juan's calling from Miami, Florida.
Hi, how are you guys?
Very well, thank you.
Well, I just, I'm in one of these markets here in Miami where it's just still, quote-unquote, booming. There's so many buildings being developed in the downtown South Beach area where even studios are going for over $300,000. Right now they're saying that a lot of it is just people that are buying them to flip them as soon as the buildings are finished. I'm wondering how much foreign investment in markets like Miami, I hear a lot of people from South America and Europe are buying here, how much that would add to the boom or basically just delay the fact that real estate is going to go down here?
Well, it's interesting that you're calling from Miami because Miami had one of the most famous home price bubbles in 1925. And in that year, people began to think that land was running out in Florida and that you'd better buy now or it will be too late. And promoters started traveling all over the country. And people started flowing in. There was a huge immigration to Florida at that time. But then the bubble burst in 26, and it didn't rekindle until Florida until recently. It has been, you know, half a century or more than that for these things to start again.
But
I think what's happening in Florida then and now are similar. It's a glamour story, a story of excitement, a story that land is running out, which suddenly becomes prominent in people's minds. But believe me, you know, decades will go by, and there will always be land in Florida.
How much water it's under is another question, Juan.
Now, what about those foreign investors, though? I mean, how much longer can they keep the market as high as it is?
See, one thing that's happening around the world is that people are richer now, and they are looking to buy vacation homes or second homes in another country. So Florida is getting people, you're right, from all around the world. But any vacation area is getting that. Vacation areas in the south of France, the Riviera, they're getting foreign. So what is happening? Yeah, as our wealth standards go up, there's more people moving to buying property in beautiful areas. And I think that, I don't mean to be too negative about investing in property. I'm sure that some of those are good investments.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're growing into a more and more affluent society, and rich people are going to want those beautiful places in Florida. The whole thing you have to be careful with is not to get caught up in some fad, some area that's currently fashionable and its price is soaring beyond belief. There is a right price. It's not infinite.
Yeah, I guess you just got to keep looking for it here in South Florida. I know there's studios that are over $300,000.
Yeah, the thing about studios is they can build more of them. I think that if you're looking for a long-term investment in Florida, I would pick some place that's unique, that has maybe the studio is, if it has the right view. But you've got to remember that new construction is coming along, and they can build more and more apartments.
Juan, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks very much for the phone call. We're talking about irrational exuberance in the housing market. Do you invest in real estate? How long do you think this ride is going to last? How exposed do you feel? Our number, if you'd like to join the conversation after the break, is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. You can also send us email. The address is totn@npr.org. More with Robert Shiller and Irrational Exuberance's second edition after the break. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about the future of the housing market. More and more homeowners are refinancing. A full quarter of homes sold last year went to investors. How long can the boom last? And when it ends, are we looking at a minor chill or a full-blown ice age? You're invited to join us at 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Our guest is Robert Shiller, an economist whose new edition of his book, Irrational Exuberance, has just added real estate to his stock market analysis. And he's with us from New Haven, where he's a professor of economics at Yale University. Let's get another caller on the line. And this is Peter. Peter's calling from Stockbridge, Vermont.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
Hi.
I'm a real estate agent up here in the Northeast, and there's definitely a boom going on as far as pricing is concerned. But one thing I was wondering if Robert had taken into consideration is the supply and demand factor. Because for me, in the past, real estate bubbles that have burst, there has been an oversupply of available houses on the market, a real high vacancy rate. And we don't see that, at least in the Northeast at this point. There's an absolute shortage of housing of all price ranges. And I'm wondering how he thought that might affect the market.
Well, of course, it's absolutely central to my field of economics that we have to think of both supply and demand. I think that supply of housing is today we have huge building companies that operate around the country, and they look around for opportunities to build houses profitably. And when home prices go up, they may see a difference between the price they can sell a house and the cost they can build a house, and they'll move in and build them whenever they can. So supply is absolutely essential to understanding it. The only issue is whether there's a shortage of land. And so in the boom cities, the places where prices are going up tend to be an area where there is currently no place to build. And that's why the price can get out of hand.
You're talking about San Francisco or New York City?
Yeah, of course they are building there. But I'm saying, relatively speaking, it's harder to build in San Francisco or New York City or other built-up cities. But I think in the long run, the building response, the supply response does come through. because we build new communities somewhere else, outside. Businesses start moving out. You know, employees start complaining. It's too expensive to live here in New York or San Francisco or wherever. And so there's corporate relocation specialists, and they'll build a whole new industrial park out in some farmland. And then a new urban center starts developing. That's the course of history. And that's why home prices have not gone up historically, not very much. It's a big misconception that homes have been a great investment.
So, Peter, are there a lot of companies building new homes there in Stockbridge, Vermont?
Well, actually not in Stockbridge, but, you know, my market is basically in the Hanover, Dartmouth College area. And the shortage is so bad that there are two projects in the books now. One with 1,200 homes and another one with 950 homes. And that's not even going to scratch the surface as far as what the need is.
But I think it will. It will scratch the surface eventually because these builders are ready and willing and they can step up operations. It'll take them a while. But if you're a long-term investor, you have to count on them building more homes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good luck, Peter.
Okay, well, thanks. Appreciate it. Good show.
Thank you. Robert Schiller, let me ask you something. You describe as the herd mentality. I think you're getting back to the psychology of the markets. A lot of people feel like they're going to be left out. And here's an email, by example. This from Carolyn in Boulder, Colorado. I'm entering medical school this fall. I'm trying to purchase my first home this summer. I'm hoping to jump on low mortgage rates before they rise again and constantly house a fear that I will miss the best deal. How long can I hope these low rates may continue?
Okay, that is an absolute central issue that's going on. It's not just the low rates. It's the expectation that home prices are going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
It is that feeling which is substantially driving the bubble. It's not just those investors. It's people who think that they'd better buy now or it'll be too late. And so what happens, the supply of housing can't increase overnight. It takes a good year to build a house. So the builders can't ramp up that fast. So if people come in trying to buy houses and the number of houses doesn't increase, they're going to bid the price up temporarily. And that's what's happening. What I think people fail to see is that millions of people are sharing that same thought with them and that's what's driving the market.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Beverly from Las Vegas.
Hi, how are you guys?
Okay.
Hi.
I'm entertaining the show. My comment is that I am a licensed real estate agent out in Las Vegas, and we are experiencing one of the hottest markets ever with no sign of letting down. I specialize in the luxury high-rises and also new home sales. And as far as the comment goes about land in Florida and the supply of land, in Las Vegas, that's an exception to the rule because we do not have a lot of land that will be available for the continued growth. Thus, we are building upwards. You see, most of the land has already been accounted for, and the property that hasn't is either BLM or federal land. And we all know that the feds don't let go of any kind of land ever.
Yeah, that's a good analysis of Las Vegas. When you fly in, you see a lot of open land, and you think, gee, there's lots of places to build. But the Bureau of Land Management, that BLM, as you say, doesn't want to let that happen. It's different in other cities. If you look at Phoenix, it looks the same flying in, lots of land, but you don't have the restrictions. That's why there's a much stronger boom going on in Las Vegas than is going on in Phoenix.
And though a lot of people are moving to both cities.
Yes. There is some building in Las Vegas, too, but it's not as vibrant because of the restrictions on land. And so the question is...
So we're going upwards. That's why vertical Vegas. That's
right.
More or less what we're saying now is we're calling it vertical Vegas because everything is going upwards. And actually, it's becoming a lifestyle, not just, you know, a way to live, but it is a lifestyle.
Well, now that's absolutely critical also. Las Vegas is one of the most glamorous cities in America, or in the world for that matter. And glamour cities, prices tend to be more volatile because the story excites people as potential investors. Las Vegas home prices have been rising. They're not that high relative to personal income as, say, in San Francisco, but they are high and rising. I don't know exactly when this will end in Las Vegas. It may go for a while.
I hope so. But, that's my livelihood.
Yeah, it's hard to predict the ends of booms. But I think that I can't say exactly where and when, but we are going to see cities with prices falling before too many years.
Good luck, Beverly.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Here's an email from Nancy in Washington. How have we reacted to the boom in real estate? I moved to eastern Loudoun County, that's in northern Virginia, 9 years ago, and watched in amazement as our home tripled in value. We have used the equity to upgrade our house, buy a new car, take an expensive vacation, as well as pay off expensive credit card debt several times. I think we are not alone in using our equity to basically subsidize our lifestyle.
You're certainly not alone. You know, we can see that because consumer debt has been rising, or mortgage debt has been rising as a share of personal income. It's happening all over. The high valuations on home prices are driving consumption. They're driving the economy. And as long as this goes, we're going to have a lively economy. When the home prices start falling, that will start to harm confidence, and it will start to cause people to pull back their spending and could put the country into a recession.
Now, I'm going to read from your introduction. People, you write, increasingly fear their livelihoods really depend on their wealth that is highly unstable because of market changes. There's an increasing perception that the price of assets matters very much to our lives. People increasingly believe they must defend their private property and doubt they can depend on social institutions to save them if things turn out badly. And there's a name for this economic system, you say, the ownership society.
Yes, well, that's George Bush's name, and it's a very apt term for it. But I think it goes beyond this country. The last 20 years have seen a wave of capitalism around the world. And the U.S. was the most successful country in the world in the 20th century, and it has imitators all over the world. And they're imitating the capitalist system. So we're all becoming more capitalist. And I think that what it does, people used to lobby for things like rent control or price controls on housing. They used to lobby for the government to subsidize a VA or FHA mortgages. There was always a sense that the government was going to make it work, make housing available. We don't have that sense now. People fear that if I don't actually get in there and buy the house, the whole market could get away from me and I'll never be able to have a house. People did not have that fear 30 or 50 years ago.
And
that's what's driving the market. Yeah.
And this plays into another part of this is anxiety about the future of Social Security, things like that as well.
Yes. And so right now, at this point, our president is on a 60-day, 60-stop tour to sell his personal account plan mm-hmm. for Social Security. And what he is really proposing that we do is to supplant the current social insurance system with a system of personal accounts invested in stocks and bonds, but he's emphasizing stocks because it wouldn't pay the way he says it would if it's not stocks. So this is the era that we live in now. We have gotten such faith in the stock market and in the housing market that we're pinning our hopes on it. And we're spending, we're not saving. The savings rate in the U.S. is practically zero, the personal savings rate. And if you add on top of that the government deficit, the national savings rate is practically zero also. And so we're not saving for the future. We are betting that the stock market or the housing market are going to just make us rich. We can just sit around and enjoy ourselves and we'll get rich. But it's not going to work because it's only going up because we think it's going up. We're speculating that it will go up.
Mass hysteria.
Well, hysteria may be too strong a word. Exuberance is the right word,
okay.
I think.
All right. Let me ask you a question. Now, obviously, this is going to vary depending whether you're in Miami, San Francisco, or Lincoln, Nebraska. But when things when the air starts to come out of this bubble, is it going to be a cooling? Prices aren't rising quite so fast. Or do you really think prices are going to go down?
Well, it'll differ by geographical location. Many cities have been stable, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Milwaukee, cities that don't have quite such they're nice cities, but they don't have quite the glamour image. They don't have the international celebrities. They don't have the bubble that we see. And people there have not pushed prices up so far, and I don't think they have anything to worry about. It's the glamour cities and the glamour resort areas, the vacation areas, that have astronomical prices. And yes, I think that they're going to come down.
Actually go down?
Well, it's happened before. and I should also add that this is the biggest bubble the country has ever seen. Hmm. So I mentioned the Florida land bubble. Prices fell sharply in Florida after that boom. We're seeing something like the Florida bubble in many cities around the country now.
If you're interested, you can read the first chapter of Irrational Exuberance and find more stories about the real estate boom on our website, npr.org. You're listening now to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's an email from Josh in St. Louis. We've noticed an upswing in St. Louis housing as well, though on a much smaller scale than, say, San Francisco or Boston. My wife and I rent and are considering buying soon. Is there a formula or methodology that could be recommended for the right time, right place, right price range?
Well, this is a problem that we don't, you know, you want to bring, well, let's bring in the econometricians and they will give a formula. The problem is that these bubble situations are rarities. In fact, as I said, we've never seen one this big before. So we don't know. There's no quantitative way to figure that out. The question that comes to mind is, how will you know that it's coming to an end? That is a tough one, because what we're talking about is human psychology. I think that, you know, people who are savvy about humans and their feelings can get ahead of the game. And some of the people who played the real estate market in the last few years, maybe we're doing that. But now the question is, what do you think is happening to people's thinking right now? A lot of people seem to be coming right in. It seems like they just heard about real estate investing and they're excited and they want to do it. So we see that building. But on the other side, I think there's more and more talk about the end of the bubble is near. And it's this talk that ends bubbles. It's when prices get so high and then people start saying, wait a minute, I think this doesn't look right. And then you hear other people saying that, and then you get a sense that the psychology has changed. I'm getting a hint of that now. There's so much talk about the bubble being in the last few months that it could be the end. But at this point, it's just too soon to tell. It could keep going up. I wish I could be more accurate and give you a formula. But I would say that right now, buying in some of the glamour areas right now has got to be a risky thing. Maybe it will go up, but it sounds to me like it could be late stage bubble.
Let's see if we get one more caller in. William's with us from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi. So I guess you don't think Cleveland is a glamorous city. Is that what I hear?
I'm sorry about that. It's a nice city, but I mean, it doesn't have Hollywood, okay? And it doesn't have Las Vegas casinos. So maybe you'd rather be in... Maybe you'd rather be there.
Actually, yes. In fact, one of the glories of Cleveland, frankly, has been the very low housing prices compared to other parts of the country. I mean, you could buy an entire city block in Cleveland for what you'd pay for a single home out in California.
And considering the exodus from the city, there's plenty of land available, too.
Well, that's interesting, and that's the subject of my call. I've decided to start looking for a place to move my studio to downtown, and there seems to be the prices have gone up quite a bit. I mean, far more than you would expect for a city of Cleveland's economic status, really. And I had a theory that I'd like to run by you and see what you think. There's a tremendous amount of money, especially a lot of money since the stock market has gone kind of soft. There's people with a great deal of money looking for a profitable place to park it. And I think real estate has been one of these areas where people think they can make a lot more than they'd ever get in the stock market.
Has that been happening, Robert Chiller? And I'm going to have to ask you to answer in about a minute.
Yeah, well, we've done surveys comparing cities across countries. And I think that the bubble is more national, the boom is more national than in the past, that even in cities that have had stable prices, they're getting a hint of this excitement. And so I would expect that Cleveland is picking up, not as strongly as some of the other cities. But I don't think there's much danger. Any correction in Cleveland will be small.
Okay. Is this another thought I had? Housing prices seem to be gauged to the highest level of prices. In other words, the very expensive homes tend to drag the market up. Is that in your experience true?
Well, I think that people tend to talk more about the top prices, and they have a lot of salience. So if they set a new record, that will change the psychology.
William,
also, big drops will do the same thing.
William, good luck in looking for a new place.
Thanks.
And Robert Chiller, we'd like to thank you for joining us today.
It was a pleasure.
Robert Chiller is a professor of economics at Yale and the author of Irrational Exuberance, the second edition, which is out now. It does. We've been talking a lot about real estate. It continues to talk about the stock market, too. He still thinks that's overvalued. He joined us from Yale University studio in New Haven. When we come back from our break, we'll go to Baghdad to learn more about Iraq's new president and the negotiations that put him into office. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.